The World This Week, Politics.
China's ruler Xi Jinping threw down his biggest challenge yet to the West's global leadership by holding Beijing's largest ever military parade and a summit of 26 leaders from other countries. China showed off its new weapons, including laser gadgets, nuclear missiles, and robot wolves at the parade, which was attended by Vladimir Putin, Kim Jong-un, and leaders from Belarus, Iran, Pakistan, and Zimbabwe. Mr. Kim travelled with his teenage daughter Kim Jong-un, who may be the North Korean dictator's eventual successor. Mr. Xi held talks with Mr. Putin on the eve of the parade and said they would work to create a more just and equitable global system. Russia announced that it had reached an agreement with China to build the Power of Siberia 2 gas pipeline, which is supposed to provide China with alternative supplies to the liquefied natural gas it imports from America, Qatar, and Australia. There was no detail about who would pay for the project, which is not due to be built until the 2030s. China offered no comment on the supposed deal. Narendra Modi, India's Prime Minister, made his first trip to China in 7 years and also held talks with Mr. Xi. Both men spoke warmly of their relationship. Mr. Modi has been trying to balance India's relations with China and America, but has been caught off guard by America's imposition of tariffs. In Thailand, Paetong Tarn Shinawat was dismissed as Prime Minister by the Constitutional Court, which decided she had violated ethics rules when she held a phone call with Hun Sen, a still influential former Cambodian Prime Minister, to discuss a border skirmish between the two countries. The ruling Per Thai Party wanted to name a new Prime Minister, but Anutin Chumvirakul, the leader of the Bumjai Thai Party, is favoured to get the job when Parliament holds a vote on September 5th. More than 1,200 people were detained in Jakarta as the worst riots in decades beset Indonesia. The trouble began when students held demonstrations against the government's plans to enhance benefits for politicians amid the country's cost-of-living crisis. The protests turned violent when police ran over and killed a motorbike taxi driver and spread throughout Indonesia. 10 people have died overall. 2 earthquakes and associated aftershocks struck Afghanistan, killing at least 1,400 people. The quakes hit the provinces of Kunar and Nangarhar on the border with Pakistan the hardest. The death toll is expected to rise. The worst floods in decades have devastated Pakistan's Punjab province. Hundreds of people have died since late June when the deluge started. Thousands of villages have been hit hard, with their crops destroyed and fields underwater. The resulting food shortage may fuel inflation. Meanwhile, 11 people were killed by a suicide bomber in Quetta, the capital of Balochistan province, where militant separatists and Islamist extremists are active. Israel pushed ahead with its offensive in Gaza City, launching heavy strikes and starting to send ground forces into the area. Thousands of Israeli reservists have been called up. Israel has ordered civilians to leave, but many remain. Meanwhile, Israeli airstrikes on Sana'a, the Yemeni capital, killed a number of Houthi officials, including the Iranian-backed militia's self-declared prime minister. America denied visas to 80 Pakistani officials ahead of the United Nations General Assembly in New York, at which several countries, including Britain and France, have said they will recognize Palestinian statehood. American officials were reported to have also suspended visas for most Palestinians wanting to visit the United States. Britain, France, and Germany notified the UN Security Council that Iran was violating its obligations under the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, a multinational nuclear deal. Iran has 30 days to comply. If negotiations fail, UN sanctions that had been lifted by the JCPOA, including an arms embargo, will be reimposed. Around 1,000 people are thought to have died in a landslide in Sudan's central Darfur region. It is the latest humanitarian catastrophe in the country, which has been mired in civil war for more than 2 years. Neither side in the conflict responded to calls for a temporary ceasefire in order to send help to the area. A 52-year-old man admitted to killing Andriy Parubiy, a former speaker of the Ukrainian parliament in Lviv, Ukraine's most westerly city. Mr. Parubiy was a prominent figure in the Maidan protests that led to the downfall of Viktor Yanukovych as Ukraine's pro-Russian president in 2014. Ukrainian officials suspect Russian involvement, but the assassin claims it was an act of revenge against the Ukrainian authorities and that he had no Russian help. Ursula von der Leyen, the president of the European Commission, said that Europe had a pretty precise plan to send peacekeeping troops to Ukraine. That earned a rebuke from Boris Pistorius, Germany's defense minister, who said it was fundamentally wrong to talk publicly about such things ahead of any potential peace negotiations. At least 16 people were killed in Lisbon when the Elevador da Gloria, one of the three funiculars that traverse the Portuguese capital's steep hills, crashed. The 140-year-old rail car transported residents and tourists from the Baixa to Barro Alto neighbourhoods in the heart of the city. Britain's deputy prime minister came under pressure to resign after admitting that she had underpaid tax on the purchase of a second home. In recent years, Angela Rayner has been notably critical of politicians she says have avoided paying tax. The American military attacked a Venezuelan boat in the southern Caribbean that was allegedly transporting drugs to the United States, killing 11 people. Mr. Trump said it was carrying narco-terrorists. Questions are being asked about the legality of the operation, which happened in international waters. Guyana held presidential and parliamentary elections in which Irfan Ali was likely to win a second term as president. The economy grew by 44% in 2024 thanks to an energy boom. Guyana accused Venezuela of firing shots at a boat carrying election officials and ballots in the oil-rich Essequibo region, which Venezuela claims as its own.